cute.
What a sweet intro. Thank you. How are you ladies doing this morning? All right, party. Mops, this is really cool. I'm not usually here. I'm not a mop, if you couldn't tell, but this is really cool. Like, just getting together, dropping your kids off, eating some breakfast, birthday parties. This is great. This is fantastic. I don't have kids yet, but I hope that when I do, we have adopts. A dad's a preschool, I think, would be so rad. I would be here, because this is awesome. But I'm super excited to be here, talk to you ladies. I feel like I can talk to you guys about things that dops just wouldn't understand. For example, who likes to buy new shoes? Okay, that's what I thought. So this is the worst, though. When you buy new shoes, I bought these shoes not long ago, and it was the day after I was hanging out with some people, and someone stomped on it and gave me a big scuff. It bothers me. Isn't that the worst? Dops wouldn't understand. You understand, though. It bothers me. So anyways, yeah, like Jill said, my name is John Rainey. I'm the middle school pastor here at PCC, and excited to share about a really great impact that you guys have on your kids. And I know that the fact that you guys are gonna make an impact on your kids, that's maybe the most obvious thing that you've heard here, because you're their parents. But there's a very special, specific impact that you all have the opportunity to make. Maybe it's something that you may need to be reminded of, or maybe it's a completely new concept for you, but I'm really excited to share about that a little bit this morning. But before I dive in, I want to share a little bit of background on who I am. That's me. That's my family. I grew up in a really small town in Wisconsin called Platteville. Very tiny town. Two amazing parents, very godly Christian parents, very cool two older brothers, my role models, looked up to them all my life. I always wanted to be better at everything that they did, though. As like the younger brother, I was like, Justin was a runner, so I was like, I'm gonna be faster than you. That's all I want. And then Jason was like a skater, so I was like, I'm gonna skate harder than you. But I really looked up to them. Amazing, amazing brothers. I grew up in the church as long as I can remember. VBS, just like your preschoolers, you know, are here. I grew up in the church, loved every second of it. I was a total youth group kid, like to the max. I became a Christian, I think it was in third grade, it was a long time ago now, but I stayed home from school, I stayed home sick one day in about the third grade, and since I grew up in the church, I kind of knew all the Bible stories, but I felt like it hadn't all come together quite yet, and it was in third grade, I stayed home from school, and I was watching The Lion King with my mom. And this is a true story, but when Mufasa, like, saved his son Simba from the stampede and, like, sacrificed his life to save his son, that's when it, like, clicked. I don't know, it was, like, something with the lions and the imagery and everything. I was like, I want to be a Christian. And so my mom, like, walked through that process with me. It was a special moment. Lion King, special place in my heart. I knew that I wanted to be a youth pastor. Probably when I was like a junior in high school, I was a youth group kid. Like, if there was dodgeball, I was there. Six Flags trip, roller coasters, I was there. Like, I just ate it up. I loved every second of it. And it was like when I was a junior in high school, I think it was, I knew I wanted to be a youth pastor when we were on this youth group, Six Flags roller coaster trip. And I was waiting in line to ride a roller coaster. And my youth pastor, he was standing right next to me, and he said something that changed the course of my life. He said, "Can you believe I get paid to do this?" And I was like, "Whoa, you get paid to ride roller coasters. I want that job." That's also a true story. After I graduated high school, I went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. Amazing place. I got a Bible degree from there, and it was just an amazing experience. The professors there were incredible. My faith really went to the next level there. It was at Moody that I found that lovely lady, the absolutely beautiful and insanely talented Jenna. If you go to PCC, you would recognize her. She's usually like right here with like an angel voice, just like singing. So we met at Moody and we got married, and it's been 7 years, which is crazy. I can't believe like how fast time has flown. But so we lived in Chicago for a little bit. And then the winters got the best of us, so we're like, forget that. Let's go to California. She grew up here in San Clemente at PCC, and so we moved here about 5 years ago. And when we got here, I was working at CarMax selling used cars. I was a used car salesman, which was the worst. For me personally, I mean, it was pretty awful. It was bad. So I was looking for any way out. But it was pretty incredible, honestly, like how God totally just like orchestrated like saving my soul from CarMax. I mean, and sin and like death and stuff too, but like from CarMax and like brought me here is incredible. But it was really, it was like the knowing the right people at the right time and totally just like brought me here. It was like this full circle thing. And I was like, whoa, I have this opportunity to like be youth pastor. Like, so I went to school for, and it just hadn't happened. And now I'm here, and I'm in my fifth school year now, and it's been absolutely incredible. The summer that I started, that's the whole youth pastor thing. The summer that I started, there were like a lot of people that were like, are you ready for the, you just like 80 middle schoolers, they're just gonna rock your world. Like, are you freaked out? And I was like, yeah. But that first summer, it was kind of like an internship summer, like with the intent to hire, as long as I liked it and PCC liked me. And the summer was a bit crazy, not gonna lie. It was wild, you can imagine. But there was a moment, we were at camp at the end of the summer, and God like totally spoke to my heart. And it went from being like this crazy, chaotic thing with all these middle schoolers into like a, like just seeing middle schoolers worshiping Jesus was like, whoa, completely changed my heart and everything. I was like, this is amazing. It's incredible. So ever since then, it's just been absolutely amazing to be able to hang out with these crazy kids. But my goal as my primary goal as a middle school youth pastor, my main concern is I want to encourage as many middle schoolers to have a genuine relationship with Jesus, as many as possible. That is like my number one goal. My desire is for them to develop a genuine relationship, not like a faith that's based on like, oh yeah, my parents, they go to church and they're Christian, so I'm a Christian too. And not a faith that's like, oh, I'm at camp and my best friend made a decision, so I guess I want to be a Christian too. My goal is for the students to make genuine, real relationships with Jesus. And a part of that, a part of accomplishing that goal is partnering with parents is very, very important to me. Partnering with parents is essential. It is critical strategy. I only get about 160 hours with these students a year, which is not that much considering there's 8,500 plus hours in a year. So I really don't have that much time with them. And if my goal is for these students to truly know Jesus, I need to partner with the people that have the greatest impact on their lives, that spend the majority of their time together. If you go to church here, you know Pastor Mark. He's our pastor, and He had a really, really amazing message. This is like a couple years ago, so I don't know if you'd remember. But he had a fantastic message and spoke on the roles of parents in kids' lives. And that was, he taught that the role of the parent is to be the spiritual shepherd of their kids. Now, as a youth pastor, I don't want to be the only spiritual leader in these students' lives. I actually don't even want to be the main spiritual leader in their life. That is a very, very special role that parents have to play. And I think that that might be a bit contrary to some popular belief. I know for a fact, I've heard from some parents, and I've seen, it's been 5 years now, I've seen parents dropping their kids off at youth group on Sunday mornings and Tuesday evenings, and with this idea of just like, here's my kid, spiritually whip him into shape and bring him on back. Hopefully they're better than when we left them. And that's just not how it should be. That spiritual leader role is a very, very special thing that you guys have with your kids. It's a 24/7 year-round job, but it's an opportunity that I cannot match. So today I prepared hopefully what is a bit of an encouragement to you ladies, to you mothers. I want to partner with you guys. I know a lot of you obviously have preschoolers. That's why you're here. But I'm sure some of you maybe have some middle schoolers, but maybe not. But this encouragement is really that spiritual shepherding of your kids. It's never too early to start, you know, whether you have middle schoolers or not. They're going to be middle schoolers at some point. But I just want to partner with you guys this morning, maybe reveal some things, some stats, some research, some whatever. Maybe it's a bit eye-opening, but something to help you guys better shepherd your kids. So a while ago, on a Sunday morning, this is a couple years ago, I did a pretty huge survey, like a questionnaire with our middle schoolers. It was actually pretty intense. It was like 6 pages front and back. It was a bit ridiculous now looking back at it. It was a lot of questions. But we asked these students a bunch of questions ranging on faith and church and reading your Bible and praying and school and friends and social media. And it was anonymous. It was, don't put your name on this. We want honest answers. We just want to see where you guys are at. And some of the findings were pretty, it was very interesting. It was very interesting for me. There were questions, like I said, on like, how many times do you read your Bible per week? And the popular answer was not much. But the follow-up question to that was, do you think it's important to read your Bible? 100% of the students, every single survey said, yes, I do think it is important. I do value it. I just don't do it. We asked questions about prayer. How many times per week do you guys pray? Popular answer was, not that much. But the follow-up question to that was, do you value that? Do you think it's important to communicate to God? 100%. Every survey said, yes, that is important. I value that. Just don't do it very much. These young people value God's word. They believe that it's important to read. They believe it's important to communicate with God. But like many of us, time, stress, confusion kind of get in the way. And we end up not doing it as much as maybe we should. There was one question, though, that I wanted to share in a little bit greater detail, and that was, how many times per week do you have faith-based conversations in your home? Bringing God into conversation about life, school, friends, sports, in any situation, how many times are you having faith-based conversation in your home? There were 56 students that were taking the survey that morning, so it's a pretty good number that morning for the students. And here's the findings that we got. Please don't be distracted by my stellar graph-making abilities. I know it's good. 14 students say that they never discuss God in the home. 21 students say they talk about God less than 3 times per week in the home. 11 students said at least 7 times a week. 2 at least 15 times per week. And 8 students at least 20 times per week they talk about God in the home. So if we look at the big, broad numbers here from that survey, 25% of the students that we have do not talk about God in the home whatsoever. And 38% of the students only talk about God in the home a maximum of 3 times per week. That's over 60% of the students that aren't having those faith-based conversations in the home. Now, here's the follow-up question that we asked after this one that I think we can really take as encouragement. The question was, do you wish your family did more, same, or less spiritual discussions, Bible reading, and prayer together as a family? And this is what we found. That 27 students want more of what they currently have, and 22 students want at least the same amount that they currently experience. And only one was like, don't, no, I don't want to talk about this. I just want to play my video games. Please stop talking. But 98% of our students, 98% of our students that were surveyed, they want parents, they want you guys to be bringing in faith conversations in the home. These findings to me were amazing, and this only revealed to me that the opportunity to spiritually shepherd in the home is great. The opportunity is there. And I realized this was like, you know, about 60 students. But at least from my experience, I really do think that those 60 students represent a larger mass, a larger whole of students. I think it's very, very encouraging. Now, why do I share about this survey? Well, there was a massive research study done by the Fuller Youth Institute, and they wanted to discover what makes a student's faith stick. What makes a student's faith from like middle school and high school, what makes that faith strong enough to last once they graduate and go to college and beyond? They called it Sticky Faith. Great name. They have a book. If you haven't read it, it's amazing. It's pretty incredible. But they were motivated to do this research because the percentage of students that graduate from their middle school and high school ministries into college is roughly 50%. 50. 50% of students that claim to be Christians in middle school and high school graduate, go to college, and completely depart from church and from faith. That is not a good stat. That is not a good percentage. And so that's why the Fuller Youth Institute, they were like, we got to figure this out. We got to understand, for those 50% that do stick with it, what are they doing? What are the dynamics of their church life, of their youth groups, of their home life? What are they doing? Is there any sort of similarities that make their faith last? And they came up with pretty awesome research. Obviously, I can't share a ton of that research because, you know, we don't have a ton of time. But basically, there were these 4 big bucket things that those students had in common, that the sticky faith had in common. And I want to share those with you. One was intergenerational relationships. The more intergenerational godly role models those students had in their lives, the better the chances. They actually, even more specifically, came up with what they realized was a trend was the sweet spot ratio was 5 to 1. That each student, if a student has 5 intergenerational godly role models, meaning it could be like a cool college kid youth leader, or it could also be like a grandfather figure, or like a parental figure, or 5 of those, is the sweet spot. Another thing that was in common was the gospel. It needs to be a very clear and deep, true understanding of who Jesus is and the reach of Jesus that he has in our life. Not that he's like a Sunday morning thing, but that if you accept Jesus, his sacrifice that saves your soul, it radically changes every area of your life. And that understanding is crucial. Another one is, an interesting one, is doubt. The students that had this sticky faith, they all said that they felt safe to talk about their doubts. And doubt is not a bad thing. They should be safe to ask questions. But remaining silent, that's when doubts become dangerous, when we keep those doubts to ourselves. But there was one thing that stood above the rest. There was one thing, and this is what I really want to share with you guys, is that with the students that stuck with their faith, parents, this is where you come in, are the number one spiritual influencers in their life. All of these students that they, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, this is 500 students that they closely looked at, interviewed, looked at every aspect of their faith and what it looked like graduating into college. 500 students. And this was the number one biggest influencers was parents. So to recap on all this survey and research talk, I promise I'm done. It's like a lot of numbers and charts and stuff. But to recap on all that, according to our little survey that we did here, the students here desire more faith-based conversation in the home. And according to this massive research study, parents are number one influencers, spiritual influencers on these students. All that to say is you guys are the spiritual shepherds of your kids. As parents, you guys are the spiritual shepherds. And this is so, so important. I called the talk today Unexpected Impact because I've heard a lot of times from parents that think their teens or preteens don't want to connect with them. They don't want to chat with them. They're kind of at that stage where they're like, Mom, I've been there. And they think that maybe like the younger, cool, hip youth leader, oh, they'll connect with them. They'll take care of their spiritual lives. And that's a real insecurity that I think parents can have, especially with like middle schoolers, high schoolers. But I'm here to encourage you to please do not believe those lies. If you think that your kids don't want to talk to you about these things, power through. Push through that, because they do. Even if it doesn't seem like they do, deep down, they do. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. So you guys are the spiritual shepherds of your home. How then? What does that look like? What does that practically look like to be a spiritual leader for your child? There's two things that I think are very tangible, practical, not so difficult things that you can do in the home to spiritually shepherd your child. The first one is lead by example. The old saying, actions speak louder than words, is really cliche and it is highly overused, but it's so true. So I'm gonna say it, actions speak louder than words. The more that you read God's word out in the open, at the kitchen table, in the living room, the more that you guys are praying with your kids, not just prayers before dinner, but throughout the day, the more that you ask your son or daughter about what their relationship with God looks like, these things show that your family truly values having a relationship with God. But if we're too busy for our own devotional time and our own prayer time, then certainly our kids will be too busy. They will find things to do. If you've been a Christian for a while or a little bit, you've definitely heard what Jesus says in Matthew 5, but I want to read it. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We shouldn't hide our faith at work. We shouldn't hide our faith with our friends. And we especially should not hide our faith in our homes. That's the difference between my mom and my dad. Like I said, my parents are both really godly, really Christian, great, fantastic people. Love them a lot. My mom was like spiritual, just like warrior. She was like Bible, like in hand at all times, just constantly praying for her boys. And it was like, it couldn't be more obvious. She was just like, it was nonstop. It was too much. No, it's not too much. You can't do too much. But it was a lot. My dad was very like, just like Bible time, like alone time. Like, that's just kind of like who my dad is. But like, the difference between that. I didn't know my dad's relationship with God as well. So if I don't know that, how am I going to be encouraged by that? My mom was like thriving, just like constantly praying and reading, and I saw that. That makes a really, really big impact. So let your light shine in your home, and those blessings will follow. Another great verse on spiritually shepherding a family comes from Peter. Now, in context, this verse, Peter's really talking about church leaders and shepherding their flock in terms of their congregation, but I really do believe that we can take this concept into our home. 1 Peter 5:2-3 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. If it is important for you that your son or daughter, their faith continues, then you should show them that it's important to you first. That example is powerful." So the first one, lead by example. The second one, how to spiritually shepherd your child, is to spiritually engage. The results from our little survey are in. They were in 2 years ago because the survey is a bit old, but still true. The results are in. 98% of these students here want to have more spiritual conversations in the home. They want to read scripture together and pray together. Now, question, I want you to think about your kids. Do you think that your kids are just going to come up to you and be like, "Can we get the Bible out and just start reading, please?" Maybe, if you have an angel. I would guess probably not. I don't know. I don't know too many students that are like that. But the survey that we took was anonymous. They had no one to impress. They weren't like putting their names, just like, "Yeah, I want to do all this. See, John." It was anonymous. They had no one to impress, and they said that they wanted to have these spiritual conversations in the home. Here's another pretty popular verse. The first half of this verse is largely memorized by a lot of Christians, but I don't know about the second half so much. Maybe it gets forgotten a bit. Deuteronomy 6:5-7 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts." Listen to this. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Put God first in your life. Love God before everything else. And then what? Talk to your children about him. Impress God's word in your children's hearts. Talk to them. Get into those faith conversations in the home." And notice when the verse says to spiritually engage. When you're walking along the road, when you're sitting at home, when you're going to bed, right back when you get up in the morning. I think modern translation would say, when you're driving to and from school, taking your kids to sports practices, eating at the table, hanging out in the living room, when they go to bed, when they wake up again, nonstop, always looking, there's always opportunities. And when I'm talking about spiritually engaging, I'm not saying like 6 a.m. wake up call, just like, hey, we gotta talk theological doctrine this morning. This is important. That would be so annoying. At least for me, I'm not a morning person at all. But always looking for these opportunities. And it doesn't need to be this crazy, deep feel. I know this might sound a bit intimidating. It's not, though. It's, hey, what'd you guys talk about, you know, at youth group? Hey, you went to small groups. How was it? What was worship like? What'd you guys discuss? Like I said, maybe it's like, on your way to school, hey, have you thought about your friend and encouraging them to come to youth group with you? Or, hey, have you been reading your Bible lately? And what's God been teaching you? Like, those are pretty easy questions to ask. That's not anything crazy. And this is so important too, what I'm about to say. Sharing with them what Jesus is doing in your life. It's massively important, so important. What are you reading in God's word? What is God teaching you? Sharing that with them? Man, that is so important. How is God present in your daily interactions? When you're with your friends, when you're at work, when you're whatever, grocery shopping, or whatever you're doing. How is God interacting in your life and changing your heart? The more you share about that with your kids, that is eye-opening, and that is so encouraging, honestly. Even if you're like, you know, your preschoolers are in middle school, and if they're just like, Mom, I don't care. They do. So just keep doing it. Just keep talking. So how can you be a spiritual shepherd? I think this is a really, really good place to start. Leading by example, spiritually engaging in conversation. And again, it doesn't need to be this like crazy heavy, like, I don't know if I like, what if my son or daughter has this question that I can't answer? That, by the way, is perfectly okay. To say that you don't know and just, hey, you know what? That's a great question. I'm gonna find that out for you. We're gonna talk about this. That conversation, learning together with, that's some next level. That is gonna do major work in their hearts. So leading by example, spiritually engaging, I think is a great place to start spiritually shepherding. I do kind of wish that this was a MOPS and DOPS this morning, because it's not just you guys, though, too, you know? So hopefully you took a couple notes and take that home to your spouse, and, you know, you and your husband together can start implementing these things. Because, yeah, it's totally not your, it's not mom's role. The parents of the home role. But I want to encourage you, it's never too late to start. You know, you guys got little ones right now. It is not too early. That's what I wanted to say. It's never too early to start. So even with the little, and you raise them up like that, it's incredible. And God will absolutely, if we're remaining faithful to him, and this is a desire of your heart, God absolutely will be faithful to equip you to do his will for your life. And as parents, a part of that is being an awesome parent that is shepherding, that is leading students towards that genuine, real relationship with Christ. All right, now I just want to pray for you guys really quick. God, I thank you so much for this group of ladies, these parents in here. What a special, tremendous, massive role they have in the lives of these young people, their sons and daughters. God, I pray that you give them strength, that you give them wisdom, give them boldness. Spirit, motivate them and encourage them to really be that spiritual shepherd in their home. It's a massive influence that they have. But God, you absolutely will equip them with everything that they possibly need to accomplish this, to do their very best to shepherd these kids towards you. So God, I just ask that you just encourage them, just that they feel overwhelmed by the love that you have for them and just boldness and all these things to truly live your will for their life. God, thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us. God, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.